Remain standing for the reading of God's word. As already read but emphasized here, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You may be seated. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. We thank you that though not intended, the last reading's section was from a different place than intended, but it was the same emphasis that you make the blind eyes to see, and the light shines in the darkness, and the word becomes flesh. I ask you, Father, now, not through any strength of my own or any words that come out of the mouth of a sinner, but your word that is true, inerrant, infallible, inspired, powerful as a two-edged sword. For your glory's sake, as on that night, this night would you do your work through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the shed blood of Jesus, that even this night might be the night of salvation, that we may rejoice in Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. A number of weeks ago, I got a letter from a friend, a new friend. I had never heard from him before. And he wrote me. He's a young Christian in a difficult situation and in a hostile environment, where he told me that it was very hard to find good Christian fellowship and good Christian teaching. In fact, he had written a number of pastors. Why he chose me and why that letter came to my office, I don't know. And I wrote him back, and since I knew that my letter was coming, would be received right before Christmas, I struggled with what to write him in his situation. His name is Grayson. I will call him Grayson. But my new friend is better known as number 117341. Yes, my new friend is a prisoner. He's in a penitentiary in Virginia. He told me he was 51 years old and will not be released until he's 76. And he said, "In prison, it is very hard." And these were his words. "You might not believe this, but even with 300 or 400 people around you, you're often very lonely." As I began to write my friend, knowing that it was close to Christmas, I wondered, what comfort or what encouragement could I give him? What would his Christmas look like? How could I give comfort to a man who is behind bars, who will spend Christmas Eve in a small cell? Yes, there will probably be a special meal, maybe extended visitation, maybe a present or two, or maybe none. Maybe he'll have a few cards that will grace his walls. And I thought, what is Christmas like for Grayson? And what comfort can I bring him as I write, knowing that Christmas is just around the corner? See, his Christmas will be very different from your Christmas and mine, and most of our Christmases. Most of us will go back to family, we'll go back to warm homes with brightly wrapped packages under a beautifully decorated Christmas tree. There will be the sounds of Christmas music. There will be the wonderful smells of freshly cooked Christmas food. There will be loved ones to share our joy with. In fact, many could not be here tonight because their Christmas celebrations, very happy as they are, have already begun. Now, please hear me. I'm not trying to, or neither do I want to guilt anybody about our Christmas celebrations. But I do want to ask us, where does our joy come from? Don't allow your joy to come from celebrations, from music, from decorations, from food, from the wonderful smells of freshly baked Christmas cookies. If that is the only source of your joy, they will fade quickly, and so will your joy. See, there are many people who you and I will meet in the next couple days that you will laugh with and share jokes with and eat with and drink with and exchange gifts with, who, though they are free, are in reality in their own prison. A prison of their own making, and they will say with great gusto, "Oh, I am not. I can do whatever I want." In fact, in great pride, many of them in their hearts will say, "I have released myself from the shackles of God. I am my own person. And I am free." But in actuality, in the honesty of their heart, they have to ask the same questions. What is their source of joy, their source of peace, their source of comfort in darkness? See, my friends, all that Christmas is about is love. But we've made it the love of family and the love of friends. And though those are very present, Christmas is about the love of God. It's about the love of God towards sinners. It's all about grace. It's about not just the grace that we will offer one another as we tolerate each other's presence for a couple hours, hoping that nobody will get into an argument. No, it is about the grace and the condescension of God Almighty towards you and I. It is all about peace, but it's not, again, the peace that we make for moments and hope that it will last between one another. It is about a peace between God and man. As I thought about my friend Grayson in his prison cell, I thought about these verses as the angels come to the shepherds. Now, we don't know exactly, but many commentators would suggest that the shepherds were probably actually ex-cons. They were the lowest of the low, if you would. But if you look at the Christmas story, there's a profound declaration, but I want to look around that declaration as well for just a moment this evening. It says, "Unto us a child is born." Isaiah says that. A people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those sitting in the deepest, darkest gloom, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. What a wonderful passage. But did you notice that the angel came to shepherds? And he says, unto you this day, unto you has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You mean to tell me that actually the reality of God come in the flesh is for the likes of shepherds? Nobody's in the world, those who are called to sit in darkness with bleeding sheep. And the angel says to them, people who look more like my new friend Grayson than they do like theologians or executives or the rich and the famous that we so often admire. See, it was to them that the shepherd says, don't be afraid. So the reality is, brothers and sisters, without the grace of God, there's much to be afraid of. Because the only assurity that we can have is that which we can manufacture on our own. And the only peace we can make with God is a peace that we make with the God of our own making. And we pretend that that will suffice. But the God of all the universe comes to make peace with you and I tonight. And he says, do not be afraid, for I bring you tidings of good news and of great joy. For who? It's for all people. Who's the all? Yes, the all are the shepherds on that night. But later on, the all would be a leper, a bleeding woman, a man possessed by demons that he couldn't control of his own. The all would be a Pharisee who would find Christ at night. The all would be a bleeding woman. The all would be a woman, a widow, bearing her only son. See, the all are scattered all throughout the passage, and the glory of it is that we can find ourselves this night in that passage. This is for you. It's not for people with PhDs or theological degrees. Believe me, they don't really matter much in the economy of God. They're not for the high and mighty. They're not for the powerful. They're not for the rich. They're for you, for the lowly, for those who recognize their need for a Savior. See, it doesn't take special knowledge. It just takes honesty. That I know, as John Newton once said, two things. That I am a great sinner. And that Christ is a great Savior. There's nothing else that really needs to be known. Tonight, if you know your need for Him, then it is good news of great joy for you. But notice the where. Where will we find Him? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Surely we will have a backstage pass. We'll have to have certain credentials to get in. How will we get past the guards? That's where kings live, but not this one. See, this king is accessible to all. This will be a sign for you, says the angel, to the surprise of the shepherds. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I just think about your Christmas. Think about the look of your Christmas. Yeah, yes, I know you've spent all day vacuuming and dusting and cleaning the bathrooms again and again because your sister-in-law is coming and she always checks. If that was a prophecy for somebody, I didn't intend it that way. Your house will look great. Everything will be in its place and perfect. But that wasn't what the first Christmas looked like. The first Christmas was a ruddy stable, cold and damp and dark. See, your house will ring with the sound of music. To borrow a quote, celestial sounds, choirs, maybe some modern music, all joyous. But that's not what the first Christmas sounded like. More than likely, a cow was mooing and sheep were bleating. There was probably wind and the shuffling of animals in straw and the sound of a woman crying in childbirth. When you go home, I'm sure whatever's cooking in the stove will smell great. It will smell like ham or turkey or whatever you cook. Maybe candles will be lit and they'll smell of your favorite scent. Sugar cookies will smell nice. Fruitcake has a glorious smell. For those of you don't know, that's a church inside joke. That's not what the first Christmas smelled like. The first Christmas, Jesus was born into a musty, stale straw. The smell of animals who were not very clean, cow manure, the sweat of a woman after labor, and still afterbirth. That's what the first Christmas smelled like. See, the reality is that many of us will actually hide our brokenness behind lights and smells and food and sounds. But the first Christmas actually look more like our lives if we're honest. The reality is that Christ being born in where he was is probably more comfortable with my friend Grayson in his prison cell tonight than he is at most parties in the Alton Godfrey area. It's available to all who know their need, to all who are willing not to cover, not to hide, not to try to drown out the echo in their own heart. If you're honest, what does your life look like? Not your Christmas. We know what that looks like. What does your life look like? Look into your heart this Christmas Eve and ask yourself, what is the source of your celebration this night, tomorrow, and then after the Christmas carols on 102 FM go off? After all the decorations are packed away, after you have to go back to work in the new year, what then will be your comfort? Is it just the trappings, the few the food, the music, the smells, the presence. Well, if it's only that, then you're actually missing the real meaning of Christmas. See, the wonderful thing is this, that my friend is in prison, but he's freer than some of you here tonight. Why? Because he knows Christ. And though he's in a physical cell, Christ has set him free. And he can know peace tonight, where many of you know people who are freer than birds, but in greater prisons in their own heart. And as I wrote him about these things, that Christ will be with him because he promised never to leave him or forsake him. And as I wrote him, I wanted to remind him not of my Christmas and how good it's going to be, but to remind him of that first Christmas that we all need to remember, because that's where we are welcome. And maybe tonight, the Holy Spirit awakens your heart and you realize, boy, if I'm honest, I'm in prison. And though I'm free to do whatever I want, everything that I do actually locks me in more. But hear the message of the angels to the shepherds, because it's the message to you in your prison. Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior for you, sinner. And he is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this wonderful story that is so well known that we miss the irony of it all. That Christ left the glories of heaven to be laid in a manger. That he who flung stars into space reduced himself to live in human flesh, to be born of a virgin. He who heard the voice of angels and archangels singing perpetually all the time, glory to God in the highest. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Would come to earth to hear, crucify, crucify, crucify. And yet you did, because you loved us. And you knew that without the salvation that you offer, there is no hope, there is no peace, there is no joy. But you came that we may have life and have it to the full. I pray, O Father, that you would search each heart as we quietly prepare and light the candles. And what is happening physically with the lighting of the candles would open the eyes of many hearts this night as well. And that each who recognizes their need for Christ this night can simply come to him, kneel at the manger, and receive from him forgiveness, assurance, grace to cover all their sins. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.